having a flawed body. Who doesn't? In a society where flawless women's bodies are valued above almost everything else, is part of the coming-of-age ritual for American girls today. Essayist Harriet Brown discovered this firsthand with her teenage daughter.
The spring my oldest daughter turned 14, my husband and I were ready for trouble. 14, we'd been told, is the age when the child you know disappears behind slammed doors and a curtain of hair. If you're lucky, she reemerges some months later, and you congratulate yourselves for having survived the worst year of your parenting lives. The trouble came, all right, though not in the form we expected. It started in the kitchen. Each night when I started cooking, my daughter was right there, lifting pot lids, adding salt, and generally being underfoot. She was full of opinions and comments, and she never wanted to eat what I was cooking. I thought this obsession with culinary arts might be a symbol of her growing autonomy, odd but sort of understandable, youth challenging age in the inevitable evolutionary showdown. None of my friends' teenagers had displayed an unnatural interest in cooking, but so what? Maybe this represented a new impulse toward closeness on her part. After all, I'd been trying to get her to cook with me since she was 5 years old. Perhaps this marked a new stage of intimacy between us. Except it didn't feel intimate. I felt annoyed, then put upon. I started grocery shopping at midnight so I wouldn't have to negotiate each and every item in the cart, and found myself cooking as much as possible when she wasn't home. The kitchen obsession was quickly followed by other odd behaviors. She called from a sleepover at 1 a.m., begging to come home. She began crying, daily and copiously. She wanted to be with me all the time. Part of me was flattered. My teenage daughter wasn't rejecting me. I must be a wonderful mother. Part of me was worried. Shouldn't she be rejecting me? On Mother's Day, we took a family bike ride and had to stop for an hour while she wept uncontrollably. That night, my husband and I sat up talking. Remember being 14? We asked each other. Teenage hormones. Wouldn't live through it again for $1 million. Our daughter, we agreed, had to go through her share of teenage angst just like everybody else. There was no free pass on adolescence. We'd revisit the issue in a month. But by then, we knew what we were dealing with, and it wasn't normal adolescence. An obsession with food and cooking, increased anxiety and depression, clinginess, all these were early symptoms of anorexia. The last to appear was weight loss. Within weeks, my daughter was in the hospital, emaciated, terrified, clearly in the grip of something bigger and more dangerous than I could have imagined. A month earlier, I'd felt irritated with her. Now I woke each morning hoping she'd live through the day. My husband and I got a crash course in eating disorders. We embarked on a long, emotionally fraught year of treatment and recovery, which so far has turned out well. Today, my daughter is a healthy, reasonably happy 16-year-old. People have asked us how we missed those early warning signs. How could we not have known? And in hindsight, it's all quite clear. But what parent hasn't worried about a child's behavior? Who among us can identify the precise moment that normal behavior, whatever that is, becomes pathological? Human beings rarely conform to textbook descriptions. And so I resist, as much as possible, the temptation to lie awake and castigate myself for not having picked up on my daughter's illness more quickly. I don't always succeed.
Harriet Brown's a writer and lives in Madison, Wisconsin.